I've kind of been relearning everything I thought I knew about English history. I'm still kind of piecing things together. Like last video, everything was dawning on me as I was recording it. But some of you guys told me about Alan Wilson and Bellum Blackett, and it's pretty fascinating. Unfortunately, their book is going for about $800 right now, but I've kind of been piecing everything together off of lectures that Alan Wilson's done. And there, I found it. This is like finding a needle in a stack of needles in my screenshots. But thank you, Peanut. And I know there's one other girl that mentioned it. Thank you, too. But while I'm piecing together what they're talking about, I thought we'd look at Monty Python and the Holy Grail in the King Arthur legend. This popped up in my feed right as I was studying all the Arthurian legends. And right off the bat, I saw all this symbolism in the opening scene. If you're not familiar with Monty Python, Welcome to Earth. They were a comedy group in England back in the 60s, 70s. And these guys are like Hollywood legend status over in England. I think some of them might have even been knighted, right? But like movies today with all this occult symbolism, I'm seeing it in here a little bit. But, you know, these are rich, famous people, and I'm sure they've got some occult knowledge. I mean, you know, Led Zeppelin and them were pretty much same time. They were probably friends. So we'll do a little bit from them, a little from mythology and legend, and we'll see what we come up with. Okay, so opening scene here. What do you see? Well, the first thing I see is the cosmic pillar and the celestial wheel. Sometimes this is four spoke, sometimes it's eight. Even the earliest depictions of Yahweh that I've shown several times is him sitting in a winged chariot with a four-spoked wheel. David Talbot in the Saturn myth says that this was a permanent fixture over the North Pole. And we're talking way back in the golden age of man, possibly Saturn as being our sun. And even the old maps showing the North Pole show it divided up into four quarters. And some even say this is the Garden of Eden with the four rivers flowing out of it. I mentioned this in a video a while back and somebody told me I lost all credibility for saying this. But this is what the four staircases on a Mayan temple symbolizes. And that's coming from a university professor that was comparing American to Asian temples. The Aztec language Nahuatl literally means four rivers or four waters. The last four letters, ATL, is their word for water, like Atlantis, Atlantic. And on the more woo-woo side of things, it's supposed to be the purest form of the ancient Atlantean language. So that's what I've got to say about losing all credibility. The cosmic wheel is also sometimes depicted as a man on a wheel. So I really doubt that that's a coincidence that they have that there. And then it's sitting on top of the cosmic pillar, which as the heavens started getting thrown out of whack, we had a huge plasma beam going up. This is possibly the source of the Celtic cross as well. If you've never seen Symbols of an Alien Sky by Thunderbolts Project, I highly recommend it. Another thing is it's foggy and gloomy in almost all of the scenes. And evidently he lived in the time of the 536 AD event, what I usually call it, where you had all these cataclysms, cities being swallowed up, and the sun really didn't shine for 18 months. It was a bluish haze in the sky. Now he's acting like he's riding a horse and the guy behind him is clacking coconuts together. And the no horses, no livestock is a thing with these events. Things get so lean that they eat their horses. So that one could just be a coincidence, but it's pretty spot on. Then they get to a castle and the guy asks, where did you guys get coconuts in England? Well, it turns out medieval England was unexpectedly full of coconuts. It says here by the 13th century, the English imported coconuts from the Venetians. But this was probably just part of the ancient trade routes. And archaeologists today are finding mosaic floors out there depicting scenes from the Iliad. And both Commons Beaumont and Alan Wilson are tracing their origins back to the Trojan War. But the coconuts are actually based in reality. Also in this scene, he introduces himself as Arthur, son of Uther Pendragon. So a little bit about dragons here. One, I think that they were actual creatures at one time. And two, it was a way of describing aerial phenomena. But if you're going to say something is like a snake, well, the snake has to be fresh in your mind already, you know? So if it's like a dragon, then a dragon is something that people already understand. Merlin gazed still more eagerly, and presently, in the heart of the red glow, he saw a great star brighten, as you might see a crimson fire suddenly break into a shining flame. From the great star, one ray shot out suddenly, brilliant as a diamond, but slender as a knight's spear. At the end of the ray appeared a globe of fire, which, as Merlin still watched, uncoiled itself slowly and took the shape of a beautiful and terrible dragon. This fiery dragon opened its mouth and sent out two more rays, one to the east, the other to the west. The eastern ray seemed to have no end to it, but disappeared in brightness, so that you might almost have thought that the sun was just going to rise. The ray to the west went into the night shadows and then broke up into seven smaller rays, which spread themselves in a golden fan above the shadowy peaks of distant hills. Remember the seven smaller rays, which spread themselves out in a golden fan for later. But this is obviously describing aerial phenomena, a fiery visitor from the heavens. Now, Geoffrey of Monmouth is the main source of these Arthurian legends, at least the approved version. And he, of course, is a Catholic cleric. In a future video, we'll get into how the Catholics changed British history. And they've done this in basically every country that they've been able to establish themselves in. That's why I always talk about the Jesuit educational system. But they've taken all the legends, compiled them into a version that's compatible with the Catholic Church. Arthur's father, Uther, commanded the king's forces in Ireland with Merlin. He acquired the giant's ring as a memorial to the dead of the Knight of the Knives That Are Long. That phrase also refers to a Dub-Dub-Deuce event, so I'm not going to say it. Uther took the crown under the title of Uther Pendragon after a dragon-shaped comet appeared in the sky at the time of his brother's death. So this was the time of the 536 AD event, where not only did you have all the catastrophes happening, but then it throws everything into chaos and wars kick off. And the Saxons, Germanic tribes, were trying to take over England. Then it also says the Germans poisoned the water supply, and Uther, along with many of his men, died in the days following. So I've talked about this quite a few times. There's so much atmospheric ash falling down that the entire water supply gets ruined. Also, a bunch of dead animals. And this definitely seems like an event that the Catholic Church doesn't want to talk about. So they probably just changed the legend from all the water was contaminated to the Germans poisoned it. Tennyson's Idylls have made us familiar with the dragon of the great Pendragon ship, blazing on Arthur's helmet as he rode forth to his last battle, and making all the night a stream of fire. The fiery dragon or drake and the flying dragon of the air were national phenomena, which we have frequent accounts in old books, and everybody knew what you were talking about back at that time. The Irish drag means fire, and the Welsh dragwa, silent flashes of lightning, fiery meteors. Hence, Shakespeare says, "Swift, swift, ye dragons of the night, that dawning may bear the raven's eye." This same motif is found all around the world. This documentary from Kathmandu back in the 60s, 70s, about the same time as Monty Python, shows the king's headdress as a long flowing tail of a comet. Comet literally translates as long hair. Then you see the queen with her crown and necklace, obviously portraying the sun, and he's sitting on a serpent throne. All of this is cosmic symbolism, and I'm sure his ancestors brought peace to the land, just like the Yellow Emperor in China who defeated the water dragon. So, continuing on with the film, there's this scene with the mud farmers, and they portray everybody as scrounging to survive, which was pretty well the case. There's a long story of the wastelands with Arthur that I'm not going to get into. And once again, in the background there, you see the cosmic pillar and wheel. Also in this scene, they're arguing about the different forms of governance, which is something that surely happens when kingdoms fall. Then you have the scene of "Bring out your dead," where they're carting out all of the pestilence victims. Official history only acknowledges this in like the Byzantine Empire, Justinian's plague. But this whole scene is very period correct for what was going on at that time. And, you know, it is just a slapstick comedy, but there's no way this is all just a coincidence. What's up, everybody? Over the last week, I've been thinking I might have to do a video saying it looks like something is about to happen, and well, it already did. But the moves I've been seeing look a lot like the build-up to the toilet paper crisis. I've seen like a handful of creators now say that they've been demoed, and several creators getting some of their videos put on restricted for the first time ever and them complaining about it. I watch these channels and I'm amazed that they're allowed to say what they can say nowadays, because it's honestly way more direct than I've ever been on here. But if I say the slightest of controversial things, then my video gets restricted. And then just like last video, I can do a 30-minute video. If I put 5 seconds of a questionable image up, well, as soon as you upload, they basically give you 3 images to choose from that they think are most likely to fit the video. And it's always going to be that one picture that was in there for 5 seconds that is not to their liking. They're just saying, look, I see you here, and I'm not even going to show it and get in trouble again. Anyway, outside of the clampdowns I've been watching on this platform, there is a complete media takeover. I mean, it was already bad enough, but now it's just all out in your face. No, we're taking everything.
Netflix that tries to buy Time Warner for 72. Then you got Ellison comes out with hostile takeover, $108 billion offer. David Ellison yesterday says, do you have that clip that he says he promised White House sweeping changes at CNN? I don't know if you have that clip or not, but
here he is talking about his conversation with the president about the merger.
Got it. So watch this here, folks. This is David Ellison trying to buy Time Warner. Go for it.
A couple of real quick things before we wrap up. I mean, CNN, I assume you would combine the news gathering operation with CBS's if, in fact, you did own that asset?
Yeah, so look, we've been really clear since by the last time we're here what we want to do with news.
Yes.
Which is we want to build a scaled news service that is basically fundamentally in the trust business, that is in the truth business, and that speaks to the 70% of Americans that are in the middle. And we believe that by doing so, that is, for us, kind of doing well while doing good. And we believe in that business model, and we believe it's essential.
Yeah, we need the trust levels that we had when for 80 years there were only 3 networks in America that people could listen to, and they were ours. We need that kind of trust. The more I watch this game play out, the more I go from, wow, that's really effed up, to what can be done about this? I just read the other day about how in 1100s England, the king went and seized all the assets of a certain person and gave them all back to the people they belonged to. It was their houses. That was the assets. How do we get to there? What's the nuts and bolts of this? Anyway, I'm going to be really careful here. And you guys, please, in the comments, be cool. You don't have to say anything directly. We all know who we're talking about here. And I've kept a close eye on the overseeing efforts here, and I've watched it progress through the years. I've spent years throwing myself against the electric fence, and I know what shocks and what doesn't, and it's getting worse. They've just started doing this. It's not on every comment, but that is the AI's recommended reply that I can just click on and it'll say that. And I'm checking profiles all the time to see who's a real person and who isn't. But yeah, this is what the AI is now recommending for replies on some comments. So yeah, be cool. This is where we're at on the map right now. You guys remember the clip of like 50 news anchors all repeating the exact same thing? Well, now that's the podcasting world. And I've had people ask, why are you subbed to that guy? Because they're talking about what they believe and what they think and what they're going to do. And they all repeat the exact same talking points. And right now, there's not enough room in the world for both of us, except for in England. It's okay that there's 1,000 boatloads of Muhammads coming in every day there, but everywhere else, no, this rock ain't big enough for the two of us. So I'm just telling you the end game they're going for.
I walked out of that 3 minute and 33 second. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I remember it was 3 minutes, 33 second meeting.
Yeah, that's totally a true story. He went to a meeting at 3 a.m. and it lasted exactly 3 minutes and 33 seconds. And he's not sending a message to anybody. Okay, so earlier we were talking about Monty Python in this video, so we're going to stick with the Monty Python skit here. And this is where they all went out to the park and they played hide and go seek, only nobody knew who was it. And they weren't even sure who the other players in the game were, because it's out in a very public place with all kinds of extra people around that aren't playing the game. Trust me, this all works out. And the important thing here is that there's 10 or 20 players that are in on the skit, but there are thousands of people around that don't know that this filming is happening at the moment. And that's what makes for such a good skit, is all of the extras that don't realize that they're in the game. It was the exact same thing at Vegas. Here's a view of everybody down at the beach, and they hear tag, tag, you're it, tag. And so everybody's going away from that naturally. Of course, they know this is what everybody's going to do. But let's just start out with this part of the game. It was recorded very well, you know, from multiple angles. But what I'm about to show you, I think, was recorded by somebody that wasn't supposed to be there. So here you see white shirt and another guy in the background, black shirt up front, and everybody obviously knows that he's it right now. Black shirt yells tag. White shirt isn't fazed in the least. He's just sitting there kind of looking at him. That's 50 yards top away. He's right there in front of him. Now, the guy's kind of looking to the left of him, but still. And then the other guy comes up from behind here. He comes up and he points, and black shirt stops and turns around. White shirt is looking directly at him, no cover whatsoever. The gray shirt over to the right, he kind of trots there for a second, and then he slows down and just starts walking across right in front, looks over at him. They're both looking at him. White shirt points. Black shirt stops and turns around. Now, I think what's happening is the guy that's recording right here isn't playing the game. Once again, white shirt points, black shirt stops, turns to look around. There's also a guy poking his head up right here. But you can see those two guys aren't fazed in the least little bit. And all the guy white shirt does is point, and the other guy stops and turns around. Now, down here, you see it's blurred out. Well, a border collie had walked up, and a dog was just sitting there in front of this while he's yelling tag real loud. This footage is from Sky News, and for some reason they decided that needed blurred out, but the dog wasn't fazed in the least by this. I wish I could show you guys this just start to finish, but I mean, I've watched this for hours and I know every move that was made, and I know it from like three different angles. So the layout here is just like any West Coast beach cove, and the location of filming is right here. The main part of things is going on right here at this footbridge. And I want you to pay attention to the layout here. If you're looking directly this way, away from that footbridge, you're looking straight down the parking lot. If you were to throw a football straight in that direction, it would be going straight down the parking lot. And if you've ever been to a beach town like this, you know that the street level is up higher than down at the beach level. So that's the retaining wall that everything goes down from there. Now, here's that footbridge again, and I want you to pay attention to what's back behind the direction that they're facing the whole time. You've got all this up at street level, and one guy will be filming from right here looking straight down. Now, I've got this sped up, but this goes on for 3 minutes. The guy filming there is only filming in that one direction, straight down to the left of the bridge, and he never once for 3 minutes even turns around to check his six. There's another guy, and right now he's down to the left. We'll get to him in a minute, but I want to show you the lay of the land here. Here's that bridge, and like I said, the beach drops down a level right there, but here's the street level all back behind him. I mean, this is all wide open. You can drive an army up through here. And so here's a view looking from there towards that footbridge. Now, the guy playing the game is right here like this guy. And I mean, just clean as can be right there. But here you actually see him waving people off. There's non-players here, and he's waving them off to, you know, to get out of the skit. All of the action is happening straight down off of the bridge to our left, which is directly down this parking lot. I mean, he is facing directly down the parking lot, not down into the grass and not up to the street level. Now, they both started off on the bridge, but for some reason, the partner decided to walk down to this area. Now, if you were playing this game and you and your partner were it, would you separate? Not likely. And also, there's this. It's extremely difficult to get tripods for filming in Australia. And the one guy is using a single action tripod, but the other guy has a gauge. Now, I don't know if you've ever played this game before, but the maximum effective range for filming one of those things is 50 yards being polite, being generous. If you're using the bottom one, it'll go a lot farther, but you're not actually going to film anything with it. Trust me, especially walking around. These things are produced by theater kids, not people with any experience. You can tell. Yeah, it looks scary on camera, but if I was 100 yards away from somebody in that scenario, I'd just be Stonewall Jackson. I'll stay up top here. Hopefully this works. The partner had walked down here and there was a guy hiding behind the car and he just took away his tripod. And you can clearly see that he was not tagged in the exchange. And then after this, he stays behind that tree for pretty much the entirety of everything. But then when it's all said and done, they say that he was tagged. Here he's signaling and he just looked back behind the bridge over in the direction where nobody seems to care about, none of the actual players. White shirt comes running up, throws something at the guy. Now his partner is still up here and he's freehanding everything here. Instead of like a normal person would get up on the bridge and actually get a rest right there. He waved a non-player off once again. But look, the way he's doing things, he isn't getting anywhere close to anybody with that. Anybody who's ever done this before knows that you're not doing anything, just raising up and going, blow. Anything over 50 yards, 90% of people need a decent rest to actually do any actual filming. The one camera angle films from right over here for 10 minutes, and he hardly ever even looks over that way. And like I said, this is back behind that bridge. I mean, you could march Alexander's conquerors up to here. All traffic has stopped coming this way, and they are just not concerned with anything from this direction. Now, this next angle is going to be from right here, looking over right here where it's at. This is a Sunday evening in the middle of summer down there, so there's all these people down at the beach, and they hear it, and of course, everyone is going to head the other direction. They're counting on that. All the players are right here in this one little area. This is it right here, just this one little triangle area, and they're not concerned at all for anything back here. There's not going to be any cowboys come along like there would be in America, and they know it. They're counting on everybody to get out of there as fast as they could, and they did. I mean, after the first 30 seconds, this parking lot is either cleared out or they're, you know, just going to hunker down. But you saw the guy waving people off and everything. And with what they chose to film with and the way that they're filming, it's pretty safe to say that they're going to stay it. Okay, this is about 30 seconds after they had tussled over the tripod. Both guys are back up on the bridge. The guy on top is the one that got in the tussle. The guy on the bottom is the guy that came up and threw a shoe or whatever. And if you're curious about the suitcase that's sitting there, so was I. It stayed there the entire time. That very well could have been somebody that just ran away and left it there. But both of these guys are fine right here. Neither one's been tagged. So both back on the bridge here. There they are. The guy that had thrown the shoe had just messed with the tripod and set it down on the ground. He grabs his arm, gets up, walks over here, falls down, sets down tripod, kind of swipes down his arm. All of a sudden, he's holding his arm. You can see that the bald guy is fine, the original tussle guy. And yeah. Now, watch down on the bottom here. You're going to see some uniformed cricket players right there. Well, a guy had run across the street and up behind them. They were there for a good 5 minutes. I know exactly when all this was taking place. And they were there for 5 minutes and never did anything. There's at least two of them. And they're working their way up through here. And the guy's only focused down through this parking lot. He's not even looking in this direction up on the street ever.
Quick calculation when I first got there, when I realized the guy on the bridge was shooting.
Filming.
By the time he turns, lines me up, I can get down.
Yeah, also one call on a radio would have sent anybody over here, and then right here is this guy filming for 10 minutes straight. And then the wrap-up to this is an all-out Monty Python skit. I wish I could show you the details. You can go over to X and watch the whole thing. I mean, everything is filmed from several different angles. And what it is about eight people up here making a huge scene, and then all the people that aren't in on the game, they start closing in from around, but they don't ever even try to secure the area. I mean, there's people throwing fists, and it's just an absolute shat show. I'm pretty sure this is the old cast of Monty Python. So the two guys that are it are directly in front of her, and she's turning around looking backwards. And then there's the bald guy on the ground. She looks like she's smiling here, looking backwards. And then the bald guy looking at the camera here, she runs up and puts a boot to him. And it's just not the best stage action scene I've ever seen. Like I said, for 5 minutes straight, he never even looks over this direction, the direction he's most exposed to. And I'm pretty sure that this filming started like right when the game started, because originally there were people hiding down in the stairs right here, and they all took off to the right. And like I said, if he were throwing footballs, he'd just be throwing footballs right down, straight down that parking lot. I guarantee you, with the way he's doing things, just the quick, jerky actions, nothing over 20, 30 yards like that. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. And a lot of other people do too. Now, let me show you what's going on with this celebration of love, light, and all things holy, according to reports. There is all kinds of footage here of them having their celebration and then reacting to the game and deciding they don't want to play, going away. And it very clearly shows that they are up here at street level. You see the buildings back behind there. They're up at street level on the bluff level. If you've ever been in a beach town like this, there's always the bluff and then the beach down below. You can see the ocean back there and then the pavilions right here, these funky shaped pavilions. And then there's a spanning shot that you can see both ends of the cove in the background back there. Now, if you were down here in this gaming area and you looked straight through a party that somebody was having, you'd be looking at this concrete block to the street level up above, a block wall. They're about 12 feet down from the street level up above. Well, the gaming area here is. They're over here somewhere. That's where it's up at street level. I'm going to give you a street view from right here at the red X. So you're looking through the park where they're having their party, and up above you can see that that's the cape that you're looking at, the southern end of the cove over there. So they filmed that part of the skit from over here, and then let's go over here to where the gaming area is. There's the bridge. We're up at street level. You can see there's the top of an RV, so you're a good 10 or 12 feet up from the park area below. So if somebody was filming this direction, they'd be filming that retaining wall. And now look, everything happened from right here over to here in this one little patch of grass and this one little strip of parking lot. That's the whole game board. And I already showed you a shot from down here on the beach. Obviously everybody starts going the other way, and this is it right here. Watch the bottom here. You see that dog walk up and they've got it blurred out, bottom left. Well, this scene wasn't filmed down in that bottom triangle. The people are calmly walking by in the background over there. This just doesn't line up with the way the other angles show it. And the dogs are not reacting at all here. So I think this was just a scene that was being filmed, and they weren't supposed to. This is somebody outside of the group that just noticed what's going on here. There's no live tags going on, so the dog's not scared, you know? But this scene is just all messed up because those two guys are 50 yards in front, and they can't tell that that guy's it, and they're just pointing, and the guy turns around. Yeah, this is all off. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed my explanation of how Monty Python and them film their skits. You have one little area where you're filming, and then everybody for blocks around, they swear that they were there and that everything was, you know, the production it was supposed to be. They also have shots of walking through that right here in this area too. But of course, it's a fast walk through jerky camera angles and everything's blurred. But here's what's happening out of this. They are going to promote this production until they're blue in the face, and all kinds of people are going to cheer it on. So that's what I see in this Monty Python skit. Catch you guys on the next one. Static out.